In Chicago today, there's a funeral service in eulogy for the man who created the popular and influential magazines for Black Americans, Ebony and Jet. John H. Johnson died last week at age 87. There have been many appreciations of him in the past few days, but NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates hasn't heard mention of one legacy. Here is her appreciation.
In an NPR interview a few years ago, publishing magnate John H. Johnson was asked how he'd managed for more than a half century to keep his media empire intact. His reply was succinct.
Well, it's very simple. You just don't sell any stock to anybody, and you don't try to merge. I'm not for sale.
Although that didn't dissuade larger companies from asking. When Mr. Johnson, that's what everyone called him, died last week, he was the CEO, president, and founder of the nation's largest Black media conglomerate. His flagship magazine, Ebony, was launched in 1945 and modeled on the popular weekly, Life. Ebony and its sibling, Jet, were pulse points in the national Black community. Ebony showcased Black success and affluence. Jet, a news weekly, covered the issues of the day from a Black perspective. Both contained something in them that was revolutionary at the time. Ads that featured Black people. In John Johnson's magazines, Black teens were shown drinking Coca-Cola, and Black families gathered in spotless living rooms to watch programs on their Zenith TVs. Ken Smichel, president of Chicago-based Target Market News, a research service that tracks and analyzes Black consumers, says Mr. Johnson's ability to persuade mainstream corporations to showcase Black consumers in their ads was groundbreaking.
For many, many years, if not decades, Ebony was the primary voice for that change in the industry. He also created an opportunity for Black advertising executives to come into being with their own firms because white ad agencies were not in the habit of putting together messages that resonated with Black readers.
John Johnson grew up in segregated Arkansas, but he didn't let segregation limit his ambition or his reach. As a young child, he'd read secondhand copies of the great Black newsweekly, The Chicago Defender, when Pullman porters left them after their Arkansas layovers. Seeing Black achievement in the Defender's pages made him want to duplicate that on a national scale. Smichel says John Johnson was staying true to his own mission, to make Black America visible to itself. Mr. Johnson's loyalty to Black America was reciprocated. Ebony still holds pride of place on coffee tables in many Black households across the country. Jet is still found in barbershops and doctor's offices. Advertisers in both magazines are remembered when Black shoppers take out their wallets. John Johnson's insistence on mainstream acknowledgement of the value of Black consumers is now standard. Blacks have become commonplace in both print and electronic ads, and corporations have taken that template and expanded it to include Hispanic and Asian audiences. It's an astonishing legacy that, Ken Smichel says, has one lifelong source.
I think it came out of a sense of respect. He commanded respect for himself, and by extension, for all those that looked like him, that shared his experience, that came out of that history.
Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News, Los Angeles.